I'm Johnny.
And I'm James.
And this is the Defenders of the Mirth. We haven't started yet. We're probably going to start soon, hopefully anyway. It's the new year, new start and all that. We haven't got copyright for the name Defenders of the Mirth. Not, of course, Defenders of the Mirth, but Defenders of the Earth. We plan to have an opening theme. We don't have an opening theme. We haven't really planned any of this, and we don't know what we're doing. So I hope you'll enjoy the show.
I do too. Please enjoy. Please listen occasionally. We try not to bore too many people. We will just talk about stuff. But hopefully we're going to have some sort of forum in place that if you feel like you need to chip in or add a little something, throw in your own comments, please feel free to do so. We're more than happy to hear any opinions on any matter. So, yep, speak up.
One of the difficult things about a podcast is you're talking to an MP3 player recording your voice. No, the more difficult things about it is you're trying not to sound like you're trying to sound like someone, and that's a very difficult thing, but hopefully we can overcome that in the coming weeks and months and years and decade. In fact, we should talk about the decade in our first show.
That sounded a bit contrived, I'm going to admit. That sounded... Are we recording again?
Well, you're not supposed to know that because it sounded contrived.
Well, we're not going to try to sound contrived. So just a little bit of... this is going to sound very contrived now because we're talking about the contraptions. Contraptions?
Contrivacy?
Contrivacy, that's a good word to fit that in somewhere. Of whenever you first start listening to podcasts, how it all sounded a bit... People trying to sound a bit too professional.
Or a bit too smart.
Yeah. And eventually it gets a bit more... The words are failing to come.
Of course, there. You're recording yourself.
Yeah, we're not.
It's always an embarrassment.
I'd like to say we're going to cut this out.
Well, probably not, though.
No,
we don't
just
really know why. But
somewhere in the timeline, there's a bit where you can cut it out and move back. But I'll probably do it wrong, so we're just not even going to bother with that.
Anyway, hopefully there'll be something to salvage from this conversation. But what to talk about is the question. Now, as you heard in the promo, if you did hear the promo, if you even exist. No, let's not get wrapped up in self-consciousness yet.
The listeners exist if we can't hear them exist. I don't know. What's the tree thing?
We need to have a feedback.
Yes.
So we need to have an address. So email us at podcast@defendersofthemirth.com.
We have that?
Yep.
Oh, sweet.
So if you have anything to say, even if it's just to say we're shit or you're shit, not we're shit, because that would be a bit self-referential and a bit mean. Why would you say that about yourself? Anyway.
I'm sorry. Did you just tell the internet not to be mean?
To itself?
Yes. that's... Oh, God. Mm. You can't tell the internet not to be mean. That's like 10% of what the internet's there for. Mm. 90% is also meant to be for porn. I don't believe that's true. I don't spend 90% of my time on the internet looking at porn. And I look at a shitload of porn.
I don't look at porn at all. That sounds like a fallacy, but it's
that
true.
That does. He's trying to protect his future political career.
I'm going to be a politician. What?
I don't know. That's probably going to be the assumption.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I really don't look at porn. If there's anything unique about this show, it's that. I don't look at porn.
Probably a bit more unique than that, other than the fact that one of our listeners does not look at porn.
Listeners? We're not listeners. They're our own show.
Our listeners.
Producers?
Producers.
Hosts?
No, producers, hosts. Yes.
Hosts. Oh, God.
Even that sounds contrived.
Yes.
We are speech makers.
Have you ever been a good host?
Bad memories. Last time I tried being hosting it, there was unpleasantness.
I don't know if we want to talk about that.
Well, we can talk about it. It's not as if it's a video podcast.
Mm. Okay. So, what happened?
What happened? I was abused. Sort of. No, I brought people back to...
Sorry.
I just like watching my voice go up and down in the whole thing. I do apologize. I brought people back here.
Our house.
Yes.
Oh, we live together, but it's only temporary.
Which in itself requires explanation. We're more questions than answers, and each question is another question.
It's alright. Hopefully, over the course of time, the more you listen to us, if we actually produce, the more we'll explain what it is that makes up our lives. But at the moment, we don't really know what we're doing. We haven't asked for copyright, as I've said, for any kind of opening to the show. So we're sort of throwing out a random audio file now to see if it hits anyone in the face. And if it does, then I'm sorry. But hopefully you come back.
Producing a podcast to assault people in the face, that's...
There is actually one that does that, but never mind.
It's a USB plug, it is a terror podcast in that face.
Oh, I might as well plug them. NoAgendaShow.com, you may have heard of them. Their motto is that they go out and they hit people in the face. But
that's a good motto.
Yeah. It's simple but effective, is how they
say it. It's direct. We're here to hit you in the face. None of the podcasts I listen to have any sort of mottos.
It comes from I shouldn't really be talking about another podcast. But,
Well, the general idea of our podcast is that we talk about things that interest us, and they are. One of our major interests is podcasts. I had a sad experience in a podcast a couple of weeks ago. Listened into a podcast. We're going to assume that some people who are listening are not podcast virgins. But you get into, you know, it's more than just about the show. Some shows review things, some shows talk about things. And I listen, I'm a bit of a comic book geek, which you'll probably pick up. But I listen to this, I listen to DC Nation. And it's hosted by the same two people every week. And I've went back, you know, once I got into it, went back and listened to all their shows. It's not just the show itself, it's the way they get on. And you got the feeling that they were friends. And a strange one came up, it was about a couple of weeks ago. Where it turned out that the co-host, the guy that originally started, died.
Oh.
And they're sort of having a tribute show. And it's the first time I'd ever came across this in a podcast.
Yeah, I had this with, there was a community of people in CNET and Twit, and these are technology podcasts. I'm a bit of a nerd, as you'll discover over the next few weeks. I mean, not that a comic book person isn't a nerd, but anyway. a geek, oh, sorry.
A deference.
I'll respect the language, but... They had a presenter that I didn't know and had never really experienced, but they had a presenter that was out with his family, and they got stuck in the snow, and he went out to try and get help, and he got trapped, essentially, and died in the cold, and then the family were later rescued. And all of these different shows had come from one single point. They'd come from a thing called Tech TV, and... they all had tributes on the separate shows, different podcasts across the internet, and it was just weird to listen in to that kind of a link. Yeah. But yeah, I can see your point. You're hearing a tribute to someone you've never met, but you seem to know.
Yeah.
And not in my case, but in your case.
No, and it was sort of strange because, you know, the show hadn't been on for a while, and sort of, you know, I'd wonder, how come DC Nation hasn't updated for a while? Selfishness goes through, I can't believe this is not updated, this is Thursday night or whatever, this is my DC Nation night, where the hell is DC Nation? I don't see a major holiday on the calendar, why don't they pull their fingers out, and then it's like, and then you find out, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, one of the hosts has died, and, you know, and it's just sort of strange, because this person's on the show for, this person loved doing this show,
yeah.
And the guy kept talking about, I felt sorry for the guy, because the guy obviously loved doing the show, and he was sort of wondering, and he sort of started to cut up himself. He think he was just recording as a sort of, almost as a vent, and he just wanted to speak to somebody that...
Yeah, so it wasn't the show anymore, it was just him talking about his friend.
Yeah, it just became him talking about his friend, and, it was sort of strange, and...
It was just two hosts?
Yeah, it was just two hosts.
So he's on his own?
Yeah, well, no, they've got a new host now, and that must be, and they're just trying to carry on the same format. Mm.
But it's going to be a bit,
it's different.
Not expected. How did he die?
Basically, they hadn't heard from him. The story was that the fella, they lived in different times, through Skype, and they hadn't heard from him for a while, and then he got an email from the guy's brother, where his family hadn't heard from him for a while.
Yeah.
And they went to his apartment and they broke in and they found him dead in his bed. He'd had a heart attack. Mm. And, it's just...
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you plan? You can't think...
No,
what age was
he? No, he wasn't that old. I think he was early to mid-30s.
That kind of thing. I mean, how?
We started our first podcast on a downer.
I'm sorry.
No, it's my own fault. I just brought it up because we were just talking about consensus podcasts.
I don't remember the guy's name from Cena, and that's my fault. I might put it in the show notes. But we'll say tribute to both of those people because it's near the anniversary of that Cena guy's death, and the other guy just passed away. So what was his name? You too.
Say me too. And that's horrible.
We apologise for our lapse.
That's horrible. I can hear the voice right in my head, which is strange. And I know quite a lot about his tastes and comic books and one of his favourite storylines. I feel a bit ashamed that I can't actually remember the fellow's name.
We will tribute them in the show notes of this episode. And sorry to everyone involved if you do hear this. There is an emotion of sorrow that comes from people that you've never met, which must in itself be very odd, but to all families of the departed, we are sorry.
Okay, that was sort of a conversation killer. I've now decided the longest ever Defenders of the Mirth episode at 11 minutes and 18 seconds.
Defenders of the Mirth is a bit of an ironic title for our opening, but there you go. Yeah. We will defend the humour in every disaster, and hopefully...
There wasn't very much mirth-making and merriment in that episode.
Well, we haven't finished yet.
Doctor Who. Doctor, where to start with the Doctor? We've finally come to the end of the 10th Doctor's reign, and... Oh, what a way to go out. Not necessarily... And I'm going to admit this now... He's a showrunner, but I was never a big fan of Russell T. Davies' episodes. I liked them, but they would never really go down in my favourites. But the final 20 minutes of that show, the episode and the start and before it was just worth it just for those final 20 minutes. I'm pretty sure they could have. I'd have quite happily watched that as a separate episode.
The second one?
The last 20 minutes. I would quite happily watch that as its own separate episode. In fact, that was almost my main problem with the episode. It was the fact that they seemed to wrote a complete episode of Doctor Who, and then had almost a completely mini episode at the end for the Doctor's death.
It could have been an intent, not to sound pompous, but plays within a play, that kind of idea. Very Shakespearean, but Shakespeare was a character in one of the episodes of Doctor Who, and there was a play within a play in that. It may have been his intention to write something within something to reference its own self.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because they're going back over the history of everything that's happened to the Doctor and just doing like a sort of reprise, just so that people who have followed it can connect with it all once again. So it could have been intention. Just to give you one last hurrah.
But it was an episode I enjoyed. Of course, like most things, in my opinion, it had its faults. I think the first episode was unnecessarily long in its explanation of what was going on. It didn't really work as a self-contained episode. It just left me
entirely build-up. It was the next episode is coming.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what a two-parter's for, isn't it? Although there should have been something more.
There didn't feel like there was much in the way of story progression. The story progression itself was minimal. It was just, here's the setup, here's a little bit of story, and then... the vast majority of the story seemed to take place in the second part.
But that's probably, again, why it was separated. The two episodes, one on Christmas Day, one on New Year's Day. Mm. It might have been an intent, again, to make you wait and be annoyed about waiting for the next part.
Many other shows have done it better. Even within Doctor Who, there's... a couple of episodes that have done it better. Me and Johnny have discussed this a wee bit ourselves. I think the library episodes did it a lot better. You know, I was never bored in the first episode.
No, the woman who died, and just the emotion of that, and the idea of someone's consciousness being trapped in a machine, and just the ideas that were presented were something to make you think, and that was in a first episode or two. So yeah, but that was a different writer.
That was a different one. Of course, that was. And we've had discussions about this, sort of referring back to other discussions, but that was the man, you know.
The new writer, the Stephen Moffat, the person taking over the series.
I myself am very excited about. I think. You know, a lot of people are pretty worried on a superficial level. You know, I was reading the papers today. And yesterday, and one of the lines was, you know, things to look out for in 2010, new Doctor Who, will Matt Smith be any good? and I think that's a very superficial level. They're just looking at it's a new Doctor, it's a new actor, and they're not even looking deeper. Just like, they're basing it solely on the actor.
We can't handle change.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the Doctor's going to look a bit different from now on, so you might not like it. It's like, no, there's more to it than that. Mm. The people behind the show are changing. And, you know,
TARDIS is changing.
The TARDIS is changing.
Everything's changing. Yeah, the logo's changing.
It's a different vision of the Doctor. Mm. You know, it's not just like when Christopher Eccleston became...
David Tennant.
It's, you know, because that was intentional. The TARDIS didn't change. Even you could argue to a certain extent, the Doctor wholly didn't change in his viewpoints. Like, I don't think, now I would have looked back, I don't think the Christopher Eccleston Doctor was wildly different than the David Tennant Doctor.
Was a bit less dramatic, like flared dramatically, but he was very similar in his principle.
Yeah. You know, and as being approachable and being nice and being, you know, he was always enthusiastic. And anyone that knows a bit about the show knows that not all the Doctors have been like that. I've heard in general, and I can't even remember the source, so don't quote this as officially coming from the Critic, but I've heard that the new Doctor is going to be very much, they're trying to put it as an older wise man in a young person's body, and they're going to, of course, look at the connotations as such. Like, you know, it's a bit different when a man comes up to you and says A, B, C isn't wrong. They did explore that a certain bit. You know, who the hell are you? You know, but when somebody that looks very young, Matt's not much older than me. I thought he was younger than me, but he's 27. He's a bit older than me, but I know, even at my age, and I'm very young looking myself, that people find it very hard to take you seriously in sort of adult context.
And that was something that Stephen Moffat, I just read today, had already thought. He thought that a Doctor Who should be an older person. It should be someone in their 40s or above, because they had that aspect of being like a grandfather character who was really just like you as a kid. You know, he had the same kind of wonder and joy about things in the universe. Yes, he had knowledge and he could be respected more, but he enjoyed the fun. And that was Stephen's view, but he's changed that with taking on the 27-year-old Matt Smith, did you say?
Yeah, Matt Smith.
Yeah. And people are speculating why, and that might be it. It might be because he wants to make that point, that it isn't the case. You might have worked that out. That isn't the case that a person has to be older in order for them to be wise.
Well, that is possible, but you know.
Did he take part in the casting? That's the question.
He did. From the version of the story I heard was basically, they looked at all these actors, they got actors in, a lot of very good actors from what I hear. Mm-hmm. I've heard some people that may or not have been on the list, and there's a couple of people that, before I saw or even knew of man, I thought, you know, as a Northern Irish person, or Northern Irish, whatever, I'm not going to get into the dynamics to that quite in this episode, but I heard that James Nesbitt was on the list, and Stephen Moffat, if you don't know, had worked with him on the Jekyll miniseries.
Jekyll, which I wanted to see, but didn't. I might go back and look at it, actually.
I would recommend it, it's very good, and I thought James Nesbitt would have made a very good Doctor. Mm. But then apparently when they saw Matt Smith come in, and Matt Smith's audition was so good,
And he was one of the first people to actually audition, because it was a sort of always open audition. They were just going to let everyone come in and see who worked.
A bit like X Factor.
I don't think they're brilliant as
clues. How do you solve a problem like Doctor Who?
Yeah, that was a great one. But apparently Matt Smith was so good that they couldn't get him out of the memory. So.
Well, that's good. At least people like us can make an impression. It makes you feel hopeful.
Yeah. Well, I just like the idea that...
Not saying that all people 26 are like us, but I'm saying people who are 26 can do something that's poignant and good.
Apparently one of the things that drew them to the Matt Smith, and... In all honesty, every time I've seen the trailers or seen him, you know, even at the end of the episode act as a character, I didn't really have a look out for it. But apparently his eyes look... He's very young looking, but apparently he's got a sort of wisdom behind his eyes, or a sort of oldness behind his eyes, which, you know, I haven't really picked up on myself. It's not something I thought.
Only saw him
for 5 seconds, and he screams Geronimo. It didn't really give that impression. Yes, I remember my grandfather going, Geronimo! You know, that's the sort of wisdom.
I've got legs!
Yeah, fingers, and oh, hair still nuts. You know, it's...
Hair Still Not Ginger was a good reference.
That was a good reference.
And I'm sure it made people feel like familiar with the scripting. And that's probably a little like buffer to get you used to the change.
I'm glad you picked up on that. I was sort of like, this isn't as radically different from David Tennant as I imagined it was gonna be when I read about it. But then again I thought, well, it's probably just easing people in.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know, just to give it time to him establish his own dog there, because it's pretty much what... Well, the first episode with David Tennant was very much like that. It was very much him saying, oh, I'm the Doctor, but I'm still a bit different.
That
whole
Christmas special, the whole thing about it was like he hadn't become himself yet, and he didn't know who he was. He wasn't even powerful enough to get up and do a lot of stuff, and there was a lot of like fear that he wasn't the same person. And that was played upon a lot in that episode, that idea that... How could he replace the other guy?
Yeah.
And it was fixed by the end of the episode when he regenerates his hand.
Yeah.
But
it establishes one of the strongest themes that the David Tennant Doctor had was, you know, to give people a chance.
Mm.
You know,
but only one.
Only one. Only one. You can't give people too many chances, but you know, he was only gonna give them one, and if they didn't heed his warning. You know, and that has been throughout the seasons with David Tennant. You've seen it a couple of times, you know, and it even went to the point of brushing off. One of my favorite scenes was in Journey's End.
Yeah.
Well, Martha, they're in the, oh, what's the key?
The key?
Yeah, the...
Journey's End. Oh, when he's told that he has to go to different parts. Oh, Journey's End? Hang on.
No, it's the one where the Daleks has stole all the 26 planets. And the Austin Hager key.
The Austin Hager key.
The key with the bombs underneath the...
He tells her to destroy it.
Yeah, and the Marsh was talking with the three people on the other side, so the Austin Hager says, we have to do this. So there's three sides. It says, you know, no, I have to do something. I have to do something. It's what the Doctor would do. And she contacts
Give them a choice.
To give them the choice.
Yes. Yes. But that's the principle he taught. But then they used that against him. They said, you may have taught this principle to all your companions, but they are all willing to kill in your name. You've turned them into your own weapon.
But then again, it's something that has been proven that, maybe rightly or wrongly, that the Doctor has done himself with the Time War. It became very apparent that I don't even like referring to him as Doctor.
Did you ever see, I only saw a quick clip of it, but they were in this Christmas special or something of Nevermind the Buzzcocks, and Catherine Tate, who plays Donna, thought that he was called Doctor Who. she got it completely wrong in her head.
That was actually one of the big changes. Christopher Eccleston was credited as playing Doctor Who, and when David Tennant came in,
really? On the
credits at the end.
Doctor Who?
He was credited as playing
Doctor Who. Not the Doctor?
And then when David Tennant came in, he says, look, it's not, you know, he's not Doctor Who. He's referred to as a Doctor, and they changed that. But that's because Tennant was a fan. Christopher Eccleston was famous for not being overly familiar with the show.
So he just
basically before he took the part or before he played, not before he took the part, before he played him in the show, he was only went back and watched two or three arcs or storylines of the older Doctor to sort of increase his familiarity.
I don't have much familiarity with the older Doctor. Although I did sound like quite a knowledgeable nerd throughout that conversation. I only know the current stuff. And how much is it in relation to the old stuff? How much is it the same? I mean, it doesn't sound like it is from what I've heard. It sounds like the old shows were slow and didn't really have much direction and there was problems with them.
Yeah, a lot of the old shows had incredibly long arcs. But don't quote me on this because I'm not... I know, got a bit because of the new series, but I haven't really went back and watched the older stuff.
I've watched the pilot, and I've watched half of the second episode, but I've heard that the archives are lost, and the end of the first series only, and the last episode of the first series only has the regeneration scene, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm going to have a look through the history.
But, yeah, I think the longest arc that there was on Doctor Who was 26 episodes. And I can't remember.
Was that the trial of the...
I think it was the trial of the Time Lords.
Yeah, you referenced that before.
I could be wrong. You feel free to...
Correct us at podcast@defendersoftheearth.com. If there's any gap in our knowledge or anything you completely disagree with, which is very likely in the last conversation, again, we have an email address, podcast@defendersoftheearth.com.
Yes, we will talk in depth mainly about things we know very little about.
That's human nature, and we follow it to the T. So,
an interesting thing actually about the lost episodes. It was about 20 years ago. Mm. Blue Peter ran a campaign.
Yes, I read about that.
You read about that?
Yes. I've done a lot of reading.
The listeners are sitting there with about a box full of lost Doctor Who episodes that, you know...
Oh, well, okay, if you want to contribute to that, I suppose that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's very... Well,
never know.
Random number theory, we might find someone.
Never know.
All right, they lost the episodes in the archive. There was something of a fire, I think, is the way it went. And
and some were just taped over.
And some were taped over, and they didn't really have all of the episodes of Doctor Who, so they're on the hunt to get them all collected together again. The alternative is they've got the audio recorded, that people recorded off the TV because they didn't have video cameras, and they're going to reanimate some of the older episodes instead, but it would be better to have the video. So if anybody has any old video content of Doctor Who, that would be sent to the BBC address. And if you want to promote us, even though we don't really exist yet, just say, we were told to send this video to you from defendersoftheearth.com.
More than just that, I was getting to. Blue Peter, if you do this, Blue Peter set up a campaign that if you do return an old episode or an lost episode of the Doctor Who, they will give you a life-size Dalek.
Oh, really?
They will give you. Not a joke.
That's...
If you return a lost episode of the BBC, Blue Peter will give you a life-size Dalek.
I don't have one.
No, I don't have one. I checked. But if you don't want, for whatever reason, want your life-size Dalek, please donate it to the Defenders of the Mirth.
If you email us at that address, we will give you an address to post it to, but no solicitors, please.
No. Dalek, we accept...
Oh, solicitations. Oh, dear. Got that wrong. Anyway.
But we do accept contributions in the form of Dalek.
Dalek, yeah.
Dalek. Dalek is Dalek or Dalek?
D-A-L-E-K.
Depends on what doctor. Some doctors say you say Dalek, we say Dalek.
Let's call the whole thing off. And in fact, let's end the episode because it is late at night. We've both got to go to work tomorrow. We both have very low paid normal jobs, so we gotta go.
Yes.
But this will be up in the next couple of days and possibly on iTunes after that.
Hopefully.
So good luck and thanks for listening.
Be safe.
We don't have any kind of credits because we don't have copyright, so it's just going to be silence.
Yes.
Bye.